The scripture lesson for our meditation this evening is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with verse 13. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When a young couple is blessed with the birth of their first child, there's a lot of excitement that goes on connected with that. And suddenly that little infant is the most important person in the world to them. And pictures are being taken, and every little movement is being recorded. I have a baby book, I know, from when my mom wrote down every little thing, first time I took a step, first lock of hair that got cut, and all these different things. And we can imagine that this young couple too, Mary and Joseph, with their first child, was so excited, and all of the joy that came around that as well. But it certainly comes quickly to a different change in what's going to now surround the history of this little baby. From the perspective of heaven, this little child is the Son of God, the Lord Almighty, the King of the heavens. And yet from the earth's perspective, he has quite a different reputation here in this world. And this tiny little baby that God has used now, bringing his own son into human flesh for our salvation, this tiny little baby now right away has to run for his life. And we think of what a tremendous contrast we see between the things of heaven and the things of this wicked world that we have here on earth below. From heaven's view, the angels gather together an enormous choir and sing his great praises and worship him. From the world's view, he is a worm. He's despised by the people. He's ridiculed. People shake their lip at him as they mock him, and he's persecuted. And right away, he has to be taken off into hiding to protect his own life, even before he's able to walk. From heaven's perspective, his heavenly Father has sent this little one to be the light of the world, to bring light and illumination and spiritual things to us here in this world. But from the world's perspective, he has to sneak away now in darkness, off into this foreign land of Egypt. And it brings to mind the words of John in his opening chapter, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." From heaven's perspective, this little baby possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. But from the world's perspective, he now has to run away and be sheltered from this little tyrant king, King Herod. We're told in the book of Psalms, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." And right away, we see that in this little baby's life, don't we? Herod's paranoia of the fact that he had been given the label of King of the Jews now causes him to work out this horrific plan, this terrifying plan, and he doesn't even care what innocent life is taken in order to try to disrupt God's heavenly plans. From heaven's perspective, this little baby that arrives has come to bring divine, heavenly peace and joy to the world. But now here in the world, dozens, maybe 100 or more young mothers have to sit and cry and lament the loss of their child. That text is interesting, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. That's one of the hardest things for people to endure, they claim, is the death of a child. Can't imagine the kind of horror that was heard in the streets of Bethlehem that night. What was it like to have a soldier with a sword come breaking into your house looking for your baby and to go try to find him, one that you're hiding, and you can hear your neighbors screaming already? Just think of the vicious horror. And here this child that Herod is trying to kill has come to bring joy and peace into the world. And this is how he is received. From heaven's perspective, this Christ child has a full command of the army of the heavenly hosts. But from the world's perspective, just a number of soldiers now draw their swords to try to destroy him. And his parents have to run away probably with not much more than a donkey and some blankets. Many years later, this very Jesus will stand before Pontius Pilate, who's representing the greatest earthly power of its day. And he will say to him, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that sure is evident in his arrival and the events that surround the arrival of this Christ child. But your life as a Christian, as a believer in this Savior, also finds some parallels as well to the things that take place in Christ's life, even though maybe your life hasn't been pursued to the level that we see here. From heaven's perspective, you are a child of God as a believer in Christ. God has placed the waters of baptism on your head, claiming you as his child, claiming you for heaven. And these are the words that he uses to speak about you. You are now dearly loved. You're referred to as a saint. He says you are a chosen people, part of a holy nation. It says God is not ashamed to be called your God. In fact, God refers to you right now as a heavenly citizen. What a tremendous blessing that is. From the world's perspective, however, there is no individual in this world to be more despised and rejected and made fun of and ridiculed than God's own children, than those who believe in this Christ child. St. Paul put it this way: everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Now, it may not be to the level that we see here with Jesus. It may not be to the level of having to give up your life. But God would have us know that when you belong into his kingdom of the grace of his Son, there will be difficulties and trials for us simply because of that faith, that are above and beyond the regular trials that all people go through, even atheists, in a world that is so full of sin. This evil world hates not only the Christ child, but anyone who clings to him by faith, and will try in a variety of ways to pursue you and to take this faith out of your heart. That's hard for us because there's an urge inside of us to want to fit into the world. There's an urge inside of us to want to fit into the culture and to be popular in the world that we live in. And yet God wants us to understand that for those who follow Christ, we will never totally fit in with this world. And we won't need to go and find persecution or manufacture something because it will find us. There will be some way, shape, or form that we will face difficulties because of our faith. If you take your citizenship in heaven seriously, then do not be expected to be well received here on earth. Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived back in the 12th century, he said this. He said, "I believe that the church needs persecution in some form, or else we will be lulled into spiritual sleep as Christians." So there is a benefit that God works out and has for us, even when we have to face persecution for loving this Christ child. God can use that for our good, to strengthen us in our faith, to hold us together with the members of his church, and to keep us heavenly focused. For Jesus Christ, his son, this was the path that God chose by which he ultimately would be exalted. And that's exactly what God will do with you as well as a child belonging to Christ. He may put you through difficulty and persecution in a variety of ways at different levels for different individuals here, and yet it will ultimately be for your exaltation through heaven, to heaven. That's why Barnabas says in the book of Acts, we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Don't expect this faith path that you are on to be easy. And your heavenly Father at the same time gives you this promise. The sufferings of this present time are not worth to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. What a blessing to belong to the kingdom of the Son. And what a blessing it is to belong to the heavenly citizenship that we possess now in heaven. That also means we are really not part of this forsaken world. Amen.
Thank you. night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity.